Praise the Lord. But God is so good. I'm thinking God is the most goodest. He's the best. Amen. Ain't you glad we're serving the best?
Yes.
Well, not only are we serving the best, we are really serving the only.
Right.
Now, there's a lot of make-believes out there.
Right.
How many of you remember when you was a little kid? But when we're children, we just like to make-believe, you know? Well, can I tell you, in my mind, thought about it all, I think that's how adults do. Sometimes they just make-believe things, you know? Well, I need a God, so I'll make believe me a God. I'm glad tonight I don't have to make believe me a God.
Amen.
I'm glad He's a real God.
Yes.
I'm glad tonight I'm serving the only true and living God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. The God that's alive. Amen. How many people here tonight are alive in Jesus? Praise God. Amen. Alive in Jesus. Now I know that Brother Justin prayed over this, and I appreciate the introductory part of it as they pray over us, and I appreciate that. But I also want to pray tonight because I can't do nothing without God.
Amen.
I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't minister in any form or fashion without Him.
Amen.
Praise God. So let's pray tonight and ask God to bless the man of God to bless the Word.
Yes.
Help me to speak His Word tonight. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I come to you tonight, God, I know, God, that my flesh is not able to do anything. God, that's why I need you tonight. I need your guidance. I need your direction. I need your leadership, Lord. I need you to help me do that which I cannot do without you, Lord. I know, God, with you I can do all things. So, Father, I ask you now, Lord, to anoint my lips, dear God, even though that they are clay. Anoint them to speak your words. God, don't let me speak not one thing that does not need to be spoken. Lord, let me speak every word that you would have me speak, God. We ask you now in all this in Jesus' name. Church, say amen.
Amen.
You love the Lord, give him a good hand clap and pray. Amen. Got your Bibles tonight? Turn with me to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 3. You dare say amen.
Amen.
God's Word says, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked in alms. He was just doing what he was used to doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you ain't careful, doing what you used to doing will hold you back.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I wish you'd hear that tonight.
Yes, amen.
That's one of the things I really hope you hear tonight. Don't get just so used to doing it grandma's way.
Right.
Don't just get to doing it your way.
That's right.
Because if you just do it grandma's way, and if you just do it your way, you might miss His way.
That's right. That's amen. Right.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, I preach, I'm telling you. So he, seeing Peter and John about to go in the temple, asking alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.
Amen.
And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Now, you can be seated tonight. I don't know whether I'll preach and run an aisle or just talk a little while. I don't know what I'll do, but I know that God wants you to hear this tonight. Something I want you to notice about this story. The first thing, they were on their way to prayer. They were on their way to do what they normally do about the ninth hour. That's called prayer. When hurt us, and I'm talking to me probably just as much as I'm talking to anybody else. It wouldn't hurt any of us to set a time to pray. We set a time to eat, Lord help us.
Amen.
We'll set a time to eat. Come on. We'll set a time to eat. For y'all that's having a hard time hearing me say again. We'll set a time to eat.
Amen.
Thank you. I'm begging for an amen right there. I may have pride one out of you. But we'll set a time to eat. We'll set a time to go to the store.
Amen.
Hey, you know what? We'll set a time to go to work. We'll set a time to get off work. Amen. We always set time. Well, we need to learn to set times for those most important things. One of them, prayer. Prayer is probably one of the most important things you'll ever do. It's not by a home. They say what you want to. It's not by a car. That's not some of the most important things you'll do. But probably some of the most important things you'll do is pray.
Yeah.
Can I tell you, prayer, amen, brought me from death to life. Yeah. I felt the Holy Ghost then. Amen. Prayer, amen, has healed the sick.
Yeah.
Amen. Prayer has raised the dead.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I ain't seen a home yet that can raise me up that much.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, when you get a brand new home, guess what? You get a brand new meal. Boy, you just shout on that, don't you? Right. Amen. Praise God. Prayer is the most important thing you'll ever do.
That's right, amen.
We, Brother Paul, we need to set time for prayer. Amen. We need to set time to pray. We get up in the morning. I'm talking to me tonight. I'm preaching to me too. All right, I want you to understand that. I didn't come here just to harp on you. Amen. I've been harping on myself all day long. Had they repented. Glory to God. Amen. But folks, listen. Amen. We need to get back to understanding. Amen. There's a few things we need to understand. I'm not necessarily teaching and preaching on prayer tonight, but it's just the way God's doing it right now. Amen. We need to understand how powerful prayer is.
Amen.
We need to understand, amen, prayer, amen, has caused dead men to come to life. And I'm not just talking about Lazarus in the Bible. I'm talking about many people down through ages, amen, been raised from the dead because somebody said, in the name of Jesus, rise up and go. Amen. Something about the power of prayer.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
We need prayer. Yes, I agree with you, America needs prayer.
Yes.
But honey, more than America needs prayer, your home needs prayer.
Yes.
I don't care how much money you make, it will not cause that home to be content.
Yeah.
I don't care how many great jobs you got, it will not cause that home to be content.
Yeah.
I don't care how pretty your woman is, it won't cause that home to be content.
That's right.
Honey, I don't care how good looking your man is. It will not cause that home to be content.
Amen.
Amen. The only thing that I find that will cause a home to be content, that's prayer.
Amen.
You know what prayer do? Prayer runs that wall.
Amen.
Don't look at your wife right now. Tense the devil. But prayer will cause your home to turn around. I don't care if you're on the verge of divorce. Prayer turn it around. I don't care if you're about to lose everything. Amen. And have to go bankrupt. Amen. If you'll just get a hold of God, He'll turn it all around. But you know, listen to this. In this story, the Bible said they were on the way to prayer. It wasn't nothing new to them. They did it regularly. Daniel prayed three times a day.
Yes, he did.
Even when the king had signed the writing. The Bible said he went as he did them four times. He went right back to that window. He went right back to that place. Said, if you're not careful, amen, little old things will hinder your prayer.
Right.
Amen. Praise God. Somebody can say something about you in church. Now get you all wrecked all week long and you won't pray a bit. Because you're too busy feeling sorry for your stinking sake.
Right.
It's not at me. For some of you that didn't like that, it's not at me. It'll be alright. We'll ride this horse.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Maybe not somebody said, oh, something hurts your feelings, so you didn't pray nothing. Oh, we love it. And all you've done is get more miserable and more miserable and more miserable. You know what? If you were just praying, glory to God, that could have been the very key right there that would cause them people, amen, to straighten up.
That's right, amen.
Amen. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. Amen. Even I am in my fancy suit tonight. Y'all didn't know I had fancy suits like this, did you? Amen. Listen. They were on their way to pray. They were on their way to do what they normally do every day. So you can say, I guess they were just in the same track that they're always in. They are. Guarantee you, every one of you in the morning do about what you normally do every morning. Guarantee it. Amen?
Amen.
Every one of you, some of you might do different things on different days like I do. But I guarantee you, good Lord willing, if he wakes me up, let me go another day, I'll get up in the morning and I'll do what I normally do.
Amen.
So you can't tell me that you're not used to doing the same thing.
Amen.
Amen. So you got to understand something. These guys were just doing what they normally do.
Yes.
But in the middle of the way to what they normally do, they got a hold of something they don't normally get a hold of during that time. But I guarantee you that man has been there all along. It seems like the funny thing to me that this day is the day that they notice this man.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, this man gets up and does what he normally does every day. Beg for money.
That's right. Amen.
Beg for money.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter how hard he begged, no matter how hard he pleaded, and no matter how much money that somebody might give him, that didn't heal him.
Right.
He was still in that same crippled, messed up condition. Can I tell you, some people in the house of the Lord are still in that same old messed up position. Amen. Still in that same old messed up position. Can I tell you that what you're doing ain't working?
Right.
It wasn't working for that man. And it ain't working for you.
Amen.
What we're doing ain't helping. We'll get up and during the week you'll get around your buddies and you're complaining about America. Complaining about the president. Complaining about the, come on, help me now. Amen. Complaining about everything's going on. Amen. It ain't working.
Right.
But we're still just complaining. Amen. We're just doing what we normally do. But see, the thing of this, what we're doing ain't working.
Amen.
What them boys were doing was working.
Amen.
Amen. Because they were acquainted with prayer. Can I tell you that most homes in the Christian faith this day and time are not acquainted with prayer?
Amen.
And they're wondering why all hell's come loose in their homes.
Amen.
They're wondering why the kids are acting like a bunch of baboons.
Yes.
Amen. Now somebody ain't praying.
That's right.
Amen. Somebody ain't praying. We ain't praying. You ain't praying. I'm not praying. Well, now preacher, you know you pray. Yeah, I know I pray. And I know some of you pray too. You know I didn't say all of them because ain't none of us here. I guarantee some of you ain't praying all week long. I ain't gonna point no fingers at you, and I'm not gonna ask you to be that honest with you, because I'd have to preach Sunday morning about lying. And all that. I know how that works. Can I tell you, prayer is a very powerful tool.
Yes, it is.
And God give us that tool.
Yes.
Notice what happened here. This man doing the same thing he always does. It wasn't bringing him any, it wasn't making him rich, and it wasn't getting him healed. He was still miserably crippled, having to be carried to the same place all the time. Can I tell you sometimes, pray God, as children of God, we need to get enough anointing of God in our own personal life that we don't have to be carried all the time. Boy, if you get in the church tonight, if Sister Walter would just do the sidewinder tonight. I love it. I love to watch her. She gets carried around. She can't go straight. Amen. Listen. What that man was doing, Brother Justin, wasn't working. It wasn't working for him. He was just right there doing the same old thing, begging for money. every day being carried to the same place like a lot of us right now. We're just being carried right there. I could just get into service. Oh, I could just get into service if Sister so-and-so would just do this. If Brother so-and-so would just do what? Oh, I could get in service. If I could just get some little blessing. If I could get some kind of help. If somebody just, if what you're saying, somebody just carry me. If somebody would just carry me, I'll get my blessing today. If somebody would just certain somebody, not everybody, not everybody would carry it. It's got to be a certain somebody. I ain't gonna call a name. Can I tell you? Can I be honest with you? One of the reasons why I had that aneurysm. Because I, number one, I was being very stressed. Going through a lot of stress. I don't have all that stress anymore. I've learned to let my son carry it. He don't know it, but I'm still taking care of a lot of things. For him. But yet he's also carrying a big load for that. He's doing a great job.
Yes,
you may put your big Pastor Justin doing a great job. But I was being under a lot of stress, and I'm not going to call them names, but I was so concerned about people being in church or not being in church, and then I'd get my mind on a certain few people, I won't call them names, and get my mind on them, and just get my stress out, they didn't show up church, I just get so tore up. Then I get up here one Wednesday night, trying to preach, bam! Blood pressure went to heaven, almost made it. Sky high. And it hit me. But thank God for the mercies and the grace and the power of the mighty God. Woo! As about 7 or 8 in doctors in Vanderbilt Hospital said, Mr. Owens, what you had, the way you had it, it should have killed you instantly. You should have just dropped dead right there. 3 hours later, I'm still begging to get me to Vanderbilt. Not really. 3 hours later, I probably didn't know where I was at. I did wake up a few times on the way to Vanderbilt Hospital. And I didn't realize then, but I do now. I was doing something I said I'd never get in. Boy, it's breezy up there. Amen. But folks, listen. It's the power of prayer.
Yeah.
These men knew what the power of prayer could do.
Yes.
What would happen if I would just really understand the power of prayer. What prayer could do. Amen. How prayer could change our nation. How prayer could change your home. How prayer could change the churches of America. How prayer could do it if we just realize how powerful prayer is. We just realize how powerful it is. When you go to really praying, demons get scared.
Yes, amen.
When you go to really praying, I tell you, hell begins to quake.
Yes.
Amen. Can I tell you tonight? I don't care how much you shout all over this floor.
That's right.
I don't care how much you jump. I don't care. Now, Brother Eric, we're in Pentecost Church. We're behaving ourselves tonight for some reason. You ever been in here when they get crazy? Praise God, you got one. Here goes Sister One, sign up. Here goes Sister Deb. She's rolling the floor. And I know why some of y'all sit in the back, because you pray together. Praise God for the anyhow. Notice what the Bible says. Peter and John had been going up to the temples, the hour of prayer. But notice here, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb. All this time he'd been lame.
Yeah.
All this time been in the same condition.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about all the people before him. Before Peter and John. All the men that come up in and out, all the religious folk. You can be a religious folk if you want to. You can be just as religious as you can get. Or you can act like you're a scholar of the word. You can be all this and be all that. You can have all these little numbers and letters in your name. MD or whatever they are. They've got all these names. PhDs. Doctor of Divinity. You can have all that stuff. But can I tell you? I know a preacher of them will call his name. He's got all kinds of plaques all over his wall. Did I tell you he's dead at 3 o'clock? I don't know about you, but I need the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
That's one thing I'm getting to tonight. Can I tell you, men and women, we need the power of the Holy Ghost. And then when you come to church, you ought to feel the power of the Holy Ghost. When you get in the service, you ought to feel the power of the Holy Ghost. When you get in the prayer line, you ought to feel the power of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And if you don't, something's wrong.
Yes.
Woo! Feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen? Thank God, but notice here, out of all the different times men have come in and out of that temple, than this day, I believe it was really honestly a divine appointment of God. That's what I believe. I don't believe it was providence. I don't believe it was happenstance. I believe it was a divine will of God that day. These two anointed, Holy Ghost filled men of God, on the way to do what they normally do. They meet up with this man. The Bible tells us that Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, "Look on us." Can I tell you, that wasn't arrogance talking. That wasn't big pants talking. That was a man speaking and said, "Look on us," because he knew that the greater one was on the inside.
Hallelujah.
He wasn't saying, "Look on me like I'm some great something. I get sick guitar preachers getting up in behind pulpits and making a big scene and acting like they're the greatest thing you ever walked. Oh, look at me. Can I tell you that's what's wrong with churches now? Everybody wants everybody to look at them. Honey, we need to look at God, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords, and how He's the one. He's the one that's going to get it done." It's not you and I. Brother Eric, we're just fish playing with us. You make clay, I'm just a dirt bag. Amen. I'm just a dirt bag, folks. Without God, I can't do nothing. Amen. Because I know God has to do what I do. He has to be the one that orchestrates it.
Amen.
Because I can't do it without. I'm trying to get somewhere here tonight. We got these two men of God on the way to the temple. We get them into the temple. They see this man. Peter says, "Look on us." Notice, if you read the story there, notice the man that was crippled. He began to look with the same hopes that he had always done before. Hoping to get some money. Not understanding that the money he'd been getting all these years had changed his status one bit.
Yeah.
He's still crippled. Mm-hmm. He's still miserable. And he's still being carried. Just like a lot of people, again, I'll say, in the church house.
Right.
They won't get enough God for themselves. Amen. They won't get enough God for themselves. They think it's just easier, a little easier, if somebody that's got God will just help them alone.
Amen.
Can I tell you, you'll never be all that God wants you to be, long as you're being carried.
That's right.
Long as you're just being carried from one place, or so to say, being carried from one spiritual realm to the next.
Amen.
Can I tell you, you can't get to heaven on my shirt tail. I can't get to heaven on your shirt tail. So why don't we just pray God learn to understand that we can't get to heaven on the shirt tail in the first place, and it takes the same blood for me that it does for you, and you gotta have it just like I gotta have it. I think you're gonna have to be filled with the Holy Ghost if you're gonna have the power that God said you could have. But we can't be carried around. That's what people are doing. But can I tell you, people that are always having to be carried? This might sound rough. I'm sorry, it's true. But they're babies.
Yeah.
They're so immature. They're getting mad. Those are being carried around in the churches today. If the preacher don't shake their hand, they won't come back to them. That's right. If the preacher didn't look and make eye contact with them. Well, preaching got a big way, preaching all of a sudden he spit on somebody. They won't come back at night. Somebody talks about them just a little bit. Get their feelings hurt. They'll stay home. Amen.
Amen.
They find out that the church helped somebody, they didn't help them.
Yeah.
I promise you, if we help somebody, we don't help you, there is a reason.
Yeah.
That's right.
And if you come and ask me for it, I'll tell you the reason. But those people is always having to be carried around.
Mm-hmm. That's
right. Somewhere along the line, you've got to have a little, number one, faith in God.
Amen.
Can I tell you that man that Peter and John seen that day? Now listen, you might disagree, but that's all right. This man didn't have faith in God.
Amen. That's right.
He didn't have faith in God. That man all of a sudden out of the blue began to have faith in Peter and John.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah. Somebody help me.
Amen.
Begin to have faith. Can I tell you? It ain't going to do you any good to get paralyzed if you don't have faith in the man of God that's anointed and praying over you.
Amen.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. But notice this, Brother Ernie. They begin to say, look upon us. Now, he didn't do like a lot of us do today. Listen, people are doing it so wrong. You know, we catch somebody in a wheelchair and they won't come out of that wheelchair, and we're supposed to have power by only God to do it.
Amen.
But you know what we'll do? We'll just continue to pray, thinking just any time now. Just any time now, they'll stand up. No, they won't. Do like Peter did. Reach down out and get them. Get up. In the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Amen.
True.
Amen. You know why? You know why churches and pastors and preachers don't do that right now? If somebody come in our presence, why we won't just say, just rise up in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I toast him. But see, that's how they have to do it. They just reach down and they say, get up in the name of Jesus. Rise up and go. And guess what? Guess what? Because they were accustomed to praying.
Right.
They were accustomed to getting the Holy God. What would happen, sister? What if the churches of today was really accustomed to getting the Holy God? Oh, what the Chicago glory that would once again fall into this place. What would happen if the anointing of God was to come in like it used to come in when people begin to pray and seek God? Amen. And living in their homes like they say they live in the house. Lord have mercy. Am I being long with you, Mama? Everyone I am, I'm not trying to be long with you, y'all.
Good.
I was telling the boy at work, teaching him how to preach. Talking about being a preacher. You know, it bothers me. People want to brag about it. Now I preached an hour and a half. Can I tell you, after the 20 minutes was up, you lost it. They were all asleep.
Right.
You ain't doing nothing when you preach an hour and a half. You preach a good hard sermon for 20 minutes, you'll have the best you're going to have.
Wow.
That's a lesson for you, brother. I'm thinking all this. Give me honor. Thank God. Brother Eric, you come visit me tonight. I had every chance to pick on you. I love this guy over here. I do. But notice this real quick, and I'm going to close here in a minute. When Peter said, look on us, the first thing he wanted him, but this man to understand, money's not what you're going to get here today, buddy.
Right.
I don't have no money. Silver and gold get out of my mind. But see, Peter knew, even though whether it's Holy Ghost letting him know what he was wanting, or he just seen this man so many times before, he knew what he was wanting. He wanted that man to know, listen, you ain't getting no money off me today. Can I tell you a lot of times these people call the churches and call the pastors and for somehow or another they got the number and said, listen, I need my life bill paid. I need my water bill paid. I'm not trying to be mean or ugly. No, honey. No, brother. What you really need is a visitation from God in your life and get sold out to Him. Get dedicated to Him. Begin to pay your tithes like you're supposed to. And honey, I promise you, amen, God, He'll show up.
Yes, amen.
They wouldn't tell me very much if I got carried away like that when they told me. It ain't money either, name. It wasn't money this man was needed. Because he couldn't buy his health. Another story of the woman, the issue of blood. 12 years, is that right? 12 years. 12 long years that woman had the issue of blood.
Yes.
Bible says she spent all she had.
Yep.
And instead of getting better, she rather she grew worse.
Yes, she did.
Money can't buy you a miracle.
But
a powerful prayer can.
Amen.
Hey man, I'm pretty close, shouldn't it? But people want him to know, listen, but understand. You ain't get no money here, brother. I didn't come here to give you a Pentecostal handshake. How many of you want a Pentecostal handshake here?
Yeah.
If you ever get a Pentecostal handshake, I guarantee you, when that man's hands pulls away from yours, you'll have some kind of money in your hand. Sometimes I wish I could get a few more there.
Bless you, Lord.
Yeah, bless me, Lord. I'm going to shake your hand out of the box. Hey, man, listen. Real quickly. Told you, listen, you're not going to get any money. This is not what's going to happen here. But Peter wanted him to understand, I don't have no money. That's not going to help you. That's not what you need. But I got what you need. What would happen if the church of Jesus Christ would just get to that place and start begin to have that much confidence in their God?
Amen.
That much confidence in their walk with God. To say, listen, brother, I got what you need.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. But notice what happened. Lift his hand out there and lift him up. I would say his ankle bones became strong.
Yes. Amen.
God miraculously healed him right down the spot.
Amen.
That man done something that day that he had never done. He went to a place that he could never go before. Why? Because he was a sick person. See, there was a time that if you were sick or if you had any kind of infirmity, you were not welcome in the temple.
Amen.
Can I tell you there, Sister Karen, they had it wrong. The Church of Jesus Christ in that day had it wrong. That's where those sick folk need to be.
Amen.
Notice this real quick and I'm going to close. But this man began to walk. Let me read this verse 8. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God.
Amen.
That man began to do something he could never ever do before. What would happen if, praise God, if people in this church, I wouldn't preach to the church down the road, I wouldn't tell about them or what they might be doing, but let's talk about house of prayer and revival. Said, what would happen if we would begin to really have confidence in our God?
Amen.
Well, now, brother, I have confidence in my God. Do you really? What would happen if we really had confidence in our God? That He can really heal. That He can really perform miracles. That He can really raise the dead. Now we say God can raise the dead, but we really don't believe it.
Come on.
Huh?
Come on.
Some of y'all look at me kind of funny now. They don't really believe it. Can I tell you a whole lot of preachers who stand behind the pulpit don't even believe in heaven? So how can you tell me they really believe in miracles? Heaven is the greatest miracle you'll ever experience.
Amen.
Do you know there's some preachers even behind the pulpit that don't even believe in God?
Amen.
I think it's dummy. What are you doing up there?
That's right.
Amen. Do you know there's a lot of preachers don't even believe in miracles?
Well, now, brother, miracles was for the back then.
Well, I show you Scripture says God changes not.
That's right.
I show you Scripture Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forevermore, or and forever. I believe that's Hebrews 13 and 8. Amen.
That's right.
So folks, around, listen. We ought to have enough confidence in our God that we can tell the world we got what you need. Can I tell you, Dr. Donald Trump ain't going to do it?
That's right.
I was listening to that on the King's staff. I was bunch of dummies. Donald Trump ain't going to turn this thing around. He got enough money to buy him out of those places on planet Earth. But I promise you, he ain't going to spend none of that on you. So don't be deceived. Donald Trump can't turn around, or all them other presidents, the people running, they can't turn this thing around. But God can. I got an idea. Let's vote for him for president. What would they say, Brother Edgar, if we started putting our mouth and saying, I vote for Jesus for president? There was a time when Jesus was president. And I noticed that every time Jesus is president, everything works great. Amen. God's with it. All right, I thought I could get long-winded now. I'm going to hush. My wife just smiled. I said, I can tell when I done good, she'll smile at me. I don't get that often. Let's stand tonight. God's good, isn't he?